Can you just imagine Joseph's reaction? We don't really get a true picture of that from the scripture, because Joseph never talks. We only see what happens to him, and we're going to hear a little bit more about that today. We've been working through the genealogy of Jesus, and it's really been messy. There's a lot of mess in Jesus' genealogy. And the mess continues, at least from a cultural perspective, right? We have the benefit of looking back through the scriptures. We have the benefit of knowing what the promises were, what the prophecies were, and how they're all fulfilled. But can you put your mind in just for a minute the culture of the day? Take your mind out of Claire's home. Take your mind out of maybe being a Christian all your life. Take your mind out of knowing the scriptures all your life, some for some of you. And put your mind in Mary's position, in Joseph's position, in the people in the town of Bethlehem that probably wasn't much bigger or smaller than Claire's home. Think about that. That was Christmas. 2,000 years ago. What a mess. What a mess. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. As you did. We have, Lord Jesus, you've given us the benefit of living in this century, of living where when we do and having your word at our beck and call. And Father, I thank you that despite what that first century context looked like and how messy and how culturally and even religiously abhorrent it looked from the outside, oh, Lord Jesus, you came. You were born of a virgin in order to die on the cross and rise again for us. You came into what looked like a very sinful situation on the outside in order to take on all the sins of mankind upon yourself. Thank you. Oh, we cannot thank you enough. And this Christmas season that we are in, we thank you that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, Lord Jesus, that the Word would be incarnate in us today, in our minds, in our hearts, that it wouldn't be just a nice picture of a manger scene, but that our hearts and our minds and our lives and our very words would be Bethlehems to people. That you, Jesus, would be birthed more and more in us and in our families and our lives for the sake of a world that so desperately needs your peace, that so desperately needs your love, that so desperately needs the incarnation of people that are filled with the Holy Spirit in our day. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, finishing off this chapter, 18 through 25. 18 through 25. A bit of a cold today, so if I sound like a boy who's going through puberty, you know why. So, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Back to that Jewish perspective. Back to, you know, take your mind away again from Claire's home 2019 to Bethlehem, first century. From a Jewish perspective, there was only basically two options: divorce or stoning. Pretty serious stuff for Joseph to consider. And I don't know if it went down like what was in the video here, but I'm sure there was some, he had some way of knowing. And it's my personal belief that is why Mary left and went to be with Elizabeth, because of the social stigma that was on her and around her. She left. Because, you know, who of you women could take the ridicule, the social stigma, the shame that surrounded Mary that time? You know, you'd go out and she'd say, well, you know, yeah, the Holy Spirit impregnated me. Huh? Really? What you been smoking, lady? What you been drinking? Be like Eli in the Old Testament with Hannah. Are you drunk? He literally said that, right? And they would say the same thing, I'm sure, if Mary had said, and maybe she did. We'll never know. It's interesting, once again, if we back up just a couple of verses, we've seen through this genealogy, the statement, a father of. And then we see here in verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Again, a woman's mentioned. Again, the birth of Jesus is mentioned. Something different. It's broken up everything. Very different focus than any other family tree that we see. Of course, because Jesus is so different. He's the most different human who ever lived on this earth. Most different human ever. So, of course, it's going to be different. Well, how many of us men, get your attention, men, wake up. Do you remember becoming a father for the first time? Any of you? Do you remember those words? Honey, I'm pregnant. You remember that? Think about that first time. Yeah, think back. It might take a little bit of time. Maybe for some of you, you haven't had that experience. Maybe a little nerve-wracking. Maybe it didn't come right when you expected. Oh, there's a baby? That's kind of inconvenient. What am I supposed to do? Or maybe for some of us more modern guys, there's a little white stick with a little blue line that was shown to us. Ooh, what's that mean? Oh, pregnancy. Oh, okay. So, however it came to you, maybe you're scared stiff. Maybe you yelled at your wife and said, what in the world? How'd that happen? You tell me, honey. All right. Well, I remember being very excited when Sherry and I first were pregnant with our first, which is Rachel. I remember more the day that we went to the hospital than I do actually the day that she announced to me that she was pregnant. It was about quarter to five in the morning, and I am awoken with a great start, with a punch in the shoulder or something like that, or a shove. I can't remember what it was, anyway. And she said, my water broke, or something like that. I'm going to get this right. Sherry's going to correct me if I get it wrong. Because it was quarter to five in the morning. I'm totally not lucid then. Anyway, so I'm there in the bed and said, it did? Are you sure? That's what I said. Are you sure? Are you sure that your water broke? And then she says the words that go down through history. Look at me. Look at me. Okay. Where I was up in a start like that, I was totally lucid, totally ready to go. Ready to go to the hospital. Boom. Whew. Tell ya, pregnancy and having a baby changes everything, doesn't it? Just the look on Joseph's face, the actor's face there on that video, right? Bing. Woo. Eyes are really big, right? It changes everything. And this circumstance here, is totally different than any of us men have ever experienced, right? I don't think any of you have ever experienced an immaculate conception, right? But Joseph didn't know. He didn't really understand. And really, for any of us men, we put ourselves in Joseph's shoes, would we have reacted any differently? Right? Here he is. He's a righteous man. The word says that. He followed the law, which that's what it means. He followed the law. He was righteous and right standing with God. He's like, as soon as those words pregnant came out, ooh, what's going through my head? Okay, back there, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the law, you know, the Torah says, I have to, what, divorce her? Just have to, if someone raped her, if she was raped in the country, then I, and if she didn't yell out for help, then I have to do this. Oh, no, maybe she was raped in town. I'm serious. Read Deuteronomy chapter 22 and chapter 24. It's right in the scriptures. And these are the things I'm sure that were going through Joseph's head because they knew the scriptures. And you say, oh, you know, man, Joseph, why are you using the word rape in church? Well, it says it right in the word. It's a little stark, I know. But I have a feeling that it went through Joseph's head. Right? Because these are the laws of the land. These are the laws of Judaism. And as he was considering this, he didn't rush into things. He considered and he was looking into this. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, but had in mind to divorce her quietly. We encourage you to read, Deuteronomy 22, 23 and 24, which is what I just dramatized a little bit for you. And Deuteronomy 24, 1 says this, if a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her and sends her from his house. Joseph had the right to do that on the outside, to divorce her. But he was a righteous man. He was from the line of David. Excuse me. He might have thought he had only two options. Two options to take with Mary. But he didn't want to bring public disgrace to her. He was a man of compassion. He wanted to keep the law. He didn't want to bring the rigor of the law against Mary. Joseph could have gone public, but he didn't. He showed compassion. He took time to consider. Much like the psalmist. Psalmist went through a lot of these things and worked through these things. And we read in Psalm 130 these words. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, for my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Can't help but think that Joseph would say, my whole being waits. What a decision he had to make. What a weight was on Joseph's shoulders, in his heart. Can we get into the emotional state of Joseph for just a minute? Right? What a weight laid on him. And he contemplated, he considered, he waited. God knew that Joseph was a man of great righteousness and right standing, and he sovereignly intervened in this situation. Through a dream, God gave Joseph another option. Take Mary home to be your wife. Have any of us ever been awoken in the night by a dream? Maybe a prompting to pray. Anybody willing to raise your hands for that? A prompting to pray? Maybe a dream that has been given to you? Yeah. This is what happened with Joseph. He was considering a decision, a very serious decision, and God prompted him through a dream. Often God will speak to us when we are still and quiet. And God spoke to this Joseph much like he spoke to another Joseph in the Bible. Dreams, visions were the first Joseph that we read about in Genesis, right? Yeah. This dream brought about peace on earth for one man's heart, in order that the ultimate peace for humanity may come not that long afterwards. 9 months later, what do we hear? A great chorus of the heavenly angels comes and says, "Peace on earth, goodwill to man on whom his favor rests." Can we just again, because I know we've all heard this story so many times, and maybe for some of you, it's just like, it's Christmas again. I hear Luke chapter 2 every year. May it not be like that. May there be excitement in our hearts and minds and lives. Emmanuel, God with us, is here. God is with us. Are we excited, church? Not only God with us, God within us. Oh, that was weak. God within us. Yes, the Holy Spirit is in us. What a transformation this needs to have for us. And you know what it gave to Joseph? Joseph's life speaks without ever he speaks without ever speaking a word. As I said before, Joseph never says a word in Scripture. I challenge you, Bible scholars, to find a word from Joseph in the Gospels. It's not there. It's not there at all. But his life speaks to us of a man who has great faith. A man who follows what he's told to do. A man who has determination. Hope. He's given hope. He's given four things, really, through this dream and through other dreams that we see. Hope, direction, determination, and discipline. So I want to encourage us and have us contemplate, long after I'm done talking, have we heard from God lately? Has God been speaking to you lately? What's he been saying? So some angelic guidance. Any of you ever been guided by an angel? Now, there used to be a show a long time ago in the 90s, Touched by an Angel. Touched by an Angel. Yeah. Maybe some of you watched that. But have you ever had angels guide you? I know I have at least once in my life. When I tried to drive standard when I was 3, I told you that story already. I know the angels guided that truck into that big boulder so I didn't drown in the Peace River. And no theologian's ever going to convince me otherwise. I'm here today because of that. Joseph needed to be a man that heard from God. And be aware. And God picks people for a reason. He has a sovereign plan. And he had a sovereign plan from the time that sin entered the world in Genesis, that Joseph and Mary were going to walk this walk. He knew that. He had this divine plan. In order for God to choose him to be Mary's husband, God knew this from time and eternity. God uses dreams. And in Matthew, we see dreams are used repeatedly to guide people. God used dreams in special ways during key times. We can too, as well today, benefit spiritually from our dreams. But there is no certainty that they are totally authoritative messages from God. We have to be careful with that. Because there are many people that put out books and many other things that say, well, this is a dream that I had, and this is, I experienced the afterlife, or these things. And we need to be very careful what we listen to and what we don't. Or there's a plethora of books that came out not that long ago of little kids dying and going to heaven and coming back. Just have to be very careful what we believe and what we don't believe. One thing I do believe, because the word says it, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he spoke in dreams here, he speaks in dreams now. But do we have to have a discernment of what that looks like. So how do we hear God's voice today? One, through God's word. Two, through God's spirit within us. Right, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He can speak to us. Three, through God's people, the body of Christ. And if God's word, God's spirit, and God's people all are saying the same thing, and you got to be careful with God's people, that you have a very discerning, biblically grounded person that you're talking to. If you have those three in line, then you know you're in a place of abiding in God's will. When we're hearing from God. Jesus Christ was birthed in each of our hearts when we accepted him. We believe that. We were born again. Throughout the remainder of this Christmas season and throughout the new year, we need, all of us need to allow God's Holy Spirit that he's been given. It's a gift, a wonderful gift that God's given to us to speak to us. God has words to speak to each and every one of you through his word. Maybe he's spoken to you. Kevin mentioned earlier when he was sharing that devotional that God spoke to him through that word about worship. Not just one thing to know, but we need to worship. Right? We need to have that desire. God was with Joseph and Mary. God is with us. And I say again, God is within us. People, we are living in perilous times. People, church, we are living in perilous times. We need to be people that are walking in step with the Holy Spirit. We need to be people who are listening to the Spirit's move in our world today and in ourselves. Because there are people in our spheres of influence in this town and even within this church that may be sitting here today that need a touch of the Holy Spirit, need to be revived, encouraged, given hope, that favor that the angels talked about. Very interesting question I want us to think about. When Isaiah predicted in Isaiah 7:14 that a virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. Could the prophet Isaiah have ever imagined how God would be with us today? Could he have ever imagined? Could we think about that for a minute? God with us. How far-reaching that is. You read in Acts 1:8 that the Holy Spirit will be given to you, and you'll go into Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit. Emmanuel, God with us. The prophecy of Isaiah is continually being fulfilled in us today through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We hear it all the time. We know it's from Scripture, but God will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise for us today. There is no place that we can go that God is not already there. There's no place that we can go. There's no place you can run. There's no place because God is with us. Jonah has a little bit of experience with that. You can ask him. He tried to run from God. Didn't work very well for him. I encourage you this week to read Psalm 139. Wonderful psalm. My favorite psalm. God knows the thoughts we think before we think them. There's no place we can go. You can go to the far side of the sea and he's still there. Go to the depths of the ocean, he's still there. You can't run from God. He's there for us. God wants to speak to us. God knows all, sees all, and hears all. Whether directly in a dream or vision or through Scripture or through prayer, may we be open to the moving of what God wants to say to us today in this Christmas season. May we not harden our hearts, but may we open them today. May we be open like Joseph. You know, Joseph could have allowed himself to be just influenced by all those around him. His old carpenter buddies. Think about that for a minute, you know. Like, yeah, hey, Joseph, I hear your wife, she did something not so good, eh? She's not, yeah. You sure you still want that lady? Some of those conversations probably took place. And made him think. Find it interesting. This is my own little inside contemplation. What were Mary's parents thinking? What were Joseph's parents thinking? They're never even mentioned, other than a little bit in the genealogy. I don't know. Obviously, it wasn't important enough for God to include in the scriptures. But it's interesting to contemplate. But Joseph didn't allow outside influence to affect his thinking. He didn't even allow the law, which was given by God. Isn't that interesting? But God intervened sovereignly in his life and brought hope, direction, and determination and discipline into Joseph's life. Because I might make you feel a little uncomfortable with this next statement, but Joseph had to save himself while Mary was pregnant, and they were married. Men, that's a little hard, isn't it, hey? To wait that long to consummate the marriage. God's direction, God's strength helped him have determination and discipline to remain pure and for Mary to remain pure. Joseph was not afraid to take the lead in his family and opened his heart and his home to the Son of God. He was technically Jesus' stepfather, right? Technically. Wow. Well, let's open up our hearts even just a little bit more to the life of Jesus revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, much like this little girl did. I'll share a story with you. There's a little country church, and there's a manger scene that was made outside, and there's a family that came by, and the pastor was looking out the window. And the car stopped, and it was snowing a little bit, and they had all manger scene set up, and out of the car came two parents and three little ones. And the pastor got his jacket on. He was going out to welcome this family that was looking at this manger scene on the front lawn of the church. And as he did, they began to talk and look, and the pastor particularly was enthralled with this one little child who couldn't keep her eyes off the manger scene. Just was fixated on all the characters. And the pastor continued to talk to the parents, and the other kids started playing, but this girl never left the manger scene. Never left looking. And finally, they're done their conversation, and it was time to get going, and people were getting cold, and mother yelled to this little girl who was still at the manger scene, "Honey, it's time to go." And then a response came that really touched the pastor's heart. This little girl, she had gone past looking at the shepherds. She had gone past looking at the cattle, gone past looking at the angels. She had her fixation right on the little manger scene, the little trough, the cattle trough that they had put a little plastic doll in. It's almost like she didn't even hear what her mother said, but finally, after a bit of silence, she yells out these words, "He's a lot more alive than that. He's a lot more alive than that." Smart little girl. Smart little girl. Jesus didn't stay a baby. Jesus became a man, lived and grew in the stature and praise of God and man, as we read. And he came for one central purpose. He was born of a virgin in order to be a very pure, sinless sacrifice for all mankind. So that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He defeated sin and death. He's more alive than any plastic toy. So may our faith be more than just in a plastic baby toy. May our faith be in the living and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not a plastic faith. It's a powerful faith. Right? It's not something that we just walk through, and sometimes we can easily, this time of year and in 3 months, 4 months from now, it's the same thing. You put up a cross, but does it mean something to us? Do we enjoy it? Do we enjoy being in the presence of Almighty God here this morning? He is alive. He is not dead. He is risen, and he has given us the Holy Spirit in order to empower us to live differently, to live with hope, to live with perseverance, to live with purpose, to live with discipline. To live like Joseph. Are we ready to live like Joseph? To hear God speak to us in powerful and dramatic ways? Is our faith more alive than that? Lord Jesus, we give you our day today. We give you our Christmas celebrations. Help us, infuse us with that wonderful phrase, that wonderful name that is above every name. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God within us. Oh, Lord Jesus, may our faith be enlivened and enriched and encouraged today, because we don't serve a baby Savior, we serve a living Savior. And you've given us the presence of your Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to go with us, to speak to us, to enliven your word to us so that we may walk out and embody it to a world that so desperately needs it in the last 2 weeks of 2019 and into 2020, a new decade. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, please. Touch my brothers and sisters here today in a new and fresh way, that you may give them dreams and visions and increase the sensitivity of all of our hearts and minds in this coming year to discern what your will, good, pleasing, and perfect will is, so that we can walk out in hope, walk out in determination, walk out in discipline. Oh, Lord Jesus, that we can have all the fruit of the Spirit on full display for the world to see so that they may find comfort and encouragement, Lord. Lord Jesus, if there is anyone here today who says, you know, I don't know if I know that, know you, Jesus. I know about you, but I want to know you. You say to all of us, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for those who may be here today who said, I'm just searching, I'm looking to find purpose and meaning in my life. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone who's here like that, that just says, I need that purpose. I need that renewed sense of direction. I need a friend. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are the friend that sticks closer than a brother. For those who may have never received Jesus, I offer you this gift this Christmas season. It is simply asking him to come. And saying, Lord Jesus, I know that I've been walking in a life that is empty, that seems meaningless and messy, much like life was before you came to earth, messy and full of problems. Not much has changed in 2,000 years. But yet, something dramatically has changed. You came in order to make a way for that mess of our lives to become a masterpiece in your hands. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to be your friend. I know that I've made a mess of things. I've made poor decisions in my life. Come to me. I ask you to be my friend, my Lord, my Savior today. I ask you to walk with me. Come in and help me in my life. Please. Lord, I pray, if anyone is here today who just needed to make that prayer personal, that I pray that they would do that, that they've done that. And if you have done that, that you are part of God's forever family, the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, for each and every one of us who's here that may feel like, oh, Christmas is here again. Whoop-dee-ding-dong day. But no, Christmas is so much more than just rushing from supper to supper, from presents and malls filled and crushed with people to trying to find that perfect gift. Lord Jesus, you are the perfect gift. You are the perfect gift for all of us this Christmas season because you have given everything so that we may gain everything. Oh, Lord Jesus, fill our minds and hearts with a new freshness, a new sense of Emmanuel, a new sense of Emmanuel this Christmas season and into 2020, that we would embody Emmanuel to a world that is chasing after every other god there is. But you are God with us and within us. All the other gods can never satisfy. The God of money, the God of pleasure, but you satisfy our hearts and minds with a peace that passes all understanding. You are wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Jesus. And of your government of peace, there will be no end. So I pray for that peace to reign through the members of Faith Community Baptist Church today, tomorrow, December 25th, and into 2020. For the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of a town that so desperately needs you. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for being with us, Jesus. Amen.